Needless to say, I apologize for that. I obviously have never led that song, and by the time I got to the chorus, I realized I had no idea how the time went. So thank you, ladies, for trying to bail me out as best you can. This lesson is literally ripped from today's headlines. And when I say ripped from today's headlines, I literally mean that. In fact, I'm going to show you in just a moment. These are the actual screenshots from the stories that we're talking about. And this lesson is very, very straightforward. I've entitled it A Brave New World, and I tell you why. And I tell you how dumb I am. I intended to have my phone and show you this dramatic instance where I had this app on my phone, and I left my phone at home. But you all have phones, and you all have Bible apps on your phone. And many of us, including myself, rely on those Bible apps or other electronic versions of the Bible for lots of things. Be very, very cautious of that. I heard someone say this is not a religious thing, but it's true. It says if a company is free to you, if a website is free to use, you are the product. If a website is free to use, you are the product. We have given ourselves, myself included, to social media and the internet and all these things, and we just trust, because we live in America and we have a First Amendment right, we think all these companies will just protect our information and we'll be able to use things freely, and they'll never ever do anything like take our Bibles away, will they? Will they? Think they won't? Think they haven't? This lesson is a strict caution. I'm glad the young people are here, by the way. I was really hoping for as many young people as possible to be here tonight. Those of us who are not so young either. Because let me tell you what's happening in this world right now. Again, I was going to show you dramatically. Here on my phone, I use this app. This is the Bible app I use. It's called Olive Tree. It's not any better than any other one. It's just the one I like. A lot of the Bible apps scroll up and down. This one actually slides over like a page. I just like that. I like the look of it. What would happen if the government or a company said, we're not going to produce that anymore? What if that were your Bible? How many of us, you don't have to raise your hands on this, but how many of us exclusively use electronic Bibles? I don't use it exclusively, but I use a Bible app on my computer. I use a Bible app on my phone. I use it quite a bit. What if this were your Bible? And what if you turned your phone on tomorrow and it were gone? Now, what about all the Bible apps? What if they were gone? What if Apple gave in to political pressure from those that are politically correct and cancel culture and decided that the Bible was against popular culture? The Bible said homosexuality is wrong. The Bible said adultery is wrong. Let's say that language is no longer allowable in this country. And Apple fell to pressure and took it down. Now you're thinking to yourself, come on, that's just crazy preachers. Preachers are always talking about stuff just to scare us because we're kids and they don't think we're paying attention. That's a headline. I don't know if you can read it. This is from this week. China made Apple take all apps with the Quran or the Bible off. And you know what Apple said? Yes, sir. So if you live in China and you want to get an electronic version of the Bible, you can't do it through Apple anymore. If that doesn't scare you, let me tell you something. I'm 55 years old. I'm scared of that. What if they were to change it? This is almost more frightening. What if the United States government, what if the government in China said to Apple, you can keep this, but you got to take Galatians chapter 5 because it talks about people are free. It talks about freedom. Galatians chapter 5 talks a lot about freedom, free from the law. Maybe the Chinese don't understand what that means, and they say, you can't be free. You got to take Galatians chapter 5 out of there. And Apple said, okay. And that's your Bible. You know, I and all of us get taught about Gutenberg, and we get taught about the printing press, and we get taught about the Bibles and the explosion of knowledge. And at one time, Bibles were locked up, and only the Roman Catholic priests had it, and it could only be written in Latin, and you couldn't read it in the English language and all that kind of thing. We think, oh man, that's just old-timey. That's just stuff in history books. Let me tell you, it's possible. Not only is it possible, it's real. I'm going to read to you. These are just quotes from this story that you see in front of you. It says this: Apple has taken down a Quran app and a Bible app in China at the request of Chinese officials. Apple told the BBC that Chinese officials had said the apps breached laws on hosting illegal religious texts. Illegal religious texts. A Muslim Uyghur ethnic group, I don't know how familiar you are with that, but this is an ethnic group that happens to be Muslim religiously. They have been targeted with genocide and put in concentration camps. They think maybe over 1 million of these people have been killed by the Chinese. Another popular religious app, Olive Tree, was taken down. Olive Tree Bible software was informed during the App Store review process that we were required to provide a permit demonstrating our authorization to distribute an app with book or magazine content in mainland China, and they didn't have it, and it had to be taken down. This is not science fiction. This is not something that might happen. This is something that is happening. Let me give you one more. And I understand this is a little bit kind of not necessarily Bible, but we're gonna get to the Bible solution to this in a minute. This is another thing that should concern you. And the way it starts sounds great. This is an anti-child porn campaign. Okay? And when somebody hears that, they think, well, I'm all for that. Well, be careful about that. Do you know what the Patriot Act is? Okay. Patriot Act. We're going to fight terrorism by taking away all your rights. Be very careful, because this is client-side, let me get this right, client-side scanning, okay? Not, so you have a phone, the client is Verizon, or the client is Apple. What it means is they are going to make it where they can scan any and everything on your phone, and if they don't like it, take it away, okay? This is from this story. This is not preacher talk. The name of the story is Technology to Automatically Scan All iPhones Threatens Democracy. 14 of the world's most respected information security experts have warned that client-side scanning is a dangerous technology. The technology, recently proposed by Apple as a method of preemptively scanning all iPhones for child sexual abuse material, would be an extremely dangerous societal experiment that risks handing governments enormous surveillance powers. Here, I love this. This line is from this story. Apple promises not to use it for selfish or surveillance purposes, which is hilarious given the story we just read about Apple giving in to the Chinese government. This is not a political sermon. This is not a sermon about politics. This is not a sermon about the Supreme Court or the First Amendment or the United States of America. This is about having a Bible, and this is where this runs into being a sermon. If you don't have a physical paper Bible, go buy one. And then know it. Get a reliable translation. I talk about translations quite a bit. I've got sermons on this and bulletin articles on it and on and on and on. What I call the big four, okay? There are other good translations. Don't ever misunderstand me. What I'm trying to say is you can pick one of these four in almost any Bible bookstore right now and get a good Bible. A King James, a New King James, a New American Standard, or an English Standard Version. Okay? Are there other good translations? Yes. Can I go on most Bible bookstores and pick one of those four and buy it? Yes. Go get one. Because do you know what's stopping Apple or the United States government or the Chinese government from taking Galatians chapter 5 out of the Bible on the electronic versions? Nothing. A couple of years ago, I used a Kindle reader app. You know what I discovered? The books that I buy, I don't own. If Kindle decides they're no longer going to support that book, guess what happens? It goes away. Guys, these are threats to the Word of God. Because if we do not have Bibles, we have no Christianity. If we have no Bibles, we have no salvation. If we have no Bibles, we have no Jesus. I'm not saying don't use a Bible app. Use a Bible app. But know what your Bible says. Read it and know it. Know if you hear something that's wrong. Know that if you know a verse so well that if you hear it quoted incorrectly, you know the difference. And keep a paper Bible. Do you know that the kings of Israel were told that they had to keep a paper Bible? Not a paper, what we would call a Bible, but the law wouldn't have been paper, certainly. Sorry, let me just get away from that. Wouldn't have been paper. Would have been leather or maybe even stone. Almost certainly several copies of leather scrolls. God told the kings of Israel, if you're going to be a king over my people, you will write out and you will keep your own copy of the law. Let me tell you something, guys. We need to take this to heart. We need to know our Bibles this well. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 through 20. I love this verse, by the way. It's such an interesting little preventative that God tries to keep the people of Israel from straying. And when he sits on the throne, and what's happening here is God, through Moses, is predicting there will come a day when Israel will have a king, and of course we know that that happened. And when he, that king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. He is to copy his own copy of the law and write it down. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Some people read through the Bible in a year. Whatever you have to do to be familiar with the Bible, do it. Do it, because it can be taken away. Think it can't happen. We're talking about China. Let's stay in the Bible. You know what happens to the people of Israel, God's chosen people, God's chosen land, God's chosen city, God's chosen temple. You know what happened? They lost it. The king no longer made his copy. And there was a time when the people of Israel did not know what God wanted them to do because they did not have a copy of the law. This is why we know who Josiah is. Josiah is a smiley-faced king for a reason. But what it tells us is it can happen here. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 22, if you don't mind. Josiah is one of the kings of Judah in the late stages of Israel's existence. And they've lost the law. People don't have it anymore. Let's begin our reading in verse 8. 2 Kings 22 and verse 8, Josiah has instructed that the temple be cleansed, and in that cleaning, guess what happens? And Hilkiah, the high priest, this is verse 8 of 2 Kings 22, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now look down a few verses into verse 11. In verse 11, they bring this book that they didn't have to the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Imagine for just a moment that all we knew about God was that there is a God, we were to worship him on Sundays, and he had a son named Jesus, and we were to sing a song occasionally with his name in it. Let's just say that's all we knew. And we found a Bible. And I had five wives. Shirley had six husbands. Ethan had 20 wives and 40 concubines because he's the richest man in town. Dave Owen runs a gambling ring. Truman's a hitman. We don't know any different. We all come on Sundays and we praise this God and we say Jesus' name. We have no idea what's right or wrong. And then we get the book. It would scare us to death. It scared them to death. There's another instance where this happens. When Israel goes into captivity and they come back, in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8, very similar circumstance. The people of Israel have lived, and I was talking about the wives. This is exactly what's going on in Nehemiah's time. The people of Israel had taken a bunch of foreign wives, and they had to eventually put them away. But guess what? They did not know it. They did not know it because they did not have the law. Look at what happens in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5. The law is read. This is one of the great chapters in the Bible, by the way. If you've not read this chapter recently, go do it. The people stand all day and listen. Ezra gets up on a stand where all the people can hear. The entire people of Israel gather just to hear the word of God. By the way, it does the same thing to them, scares them to death. This is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. Don't be confused by the fact that Ezra's doing the reading here. Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries. So Ezra is the priest, and he's going to read here in verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akkub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Misah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and gave the meaning so that the people understood the reading. They understood, but it scared them to death. Look at the next few verses. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your own way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. They were so upset they couldn't get them to hush. They were screaming and hollering because they understood they were wrong before God. Why? Because they relied on an app. Because they trusted Apple. Because they didn't have their own copy of the law. Because the kings of Israel didn't write out the words of God. They didn't know the difference between what was right and what was wrong. It's not a maybe, it happened. It's not a maybe, it happened this week. Just because you or I don't live in China, don't think it can't happen here. It's the same apple. So how do we prevent it today? The verse that was read to us in our scripture reading is a wonderful verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yes, Paul here is talking to a young man who's a minister, but he's also talking to all of us. We all need to be so familiar with the scriptures that we understand when they're different. And the only way to do that is to preach it and to teach it and to talk about it. If you're looking on the screen, I'm going to guess most of you know that second verse. Probably expected that that verse would be in this lesson. There's a reason you know that verse. There's a reason it's in this lesson. It's that important. How do we prevent it today? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. I charge you, Paul is saying this so seriously, I demand, I tell you in front of everybody, in front of God and everybody, that this is what he says. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. For years and years and years, we thought the danger was denominational preachers. We thought the danger was mega churches. We thought the danger was all those things. That may not be the danger. It may be a society unwilling to hear the truth of God and who may just take it away like that. And if we don't know it, we won't know the difference. They could change it. People wouldn't know it. How many of the people you would know, if they changed 20% of the Bible, would ever know the difference if they read it? I'm going to guess 80% of the people I know would never know the difference. What about us? Own a paper Bible and know it. Again, people take me wrong every time I mention this. I make fun of Rick all the time because he uses iPad. Use it. Brother Jim, Brother Dave, I know a lot of you use them as primary sources. Please do. They're fantastic tools. But don't let that be the only Bible in your home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. This will be the end of our lesson. This verse is so well known. The Jews of today make a big deal about any time there's the phrase, "Hear, O Israel." They talk about the "Hear, O Israel" verses because we would think of Jesus saying, "Verily, verily," in the King James, "truly, truly," that God is trying to get our attention by saying something. Look at verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Jesus quotes this in the New Testament, by the way. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Not a bad idea. Know the Word of God like you would know a song lyric. If I were to begin to sing Happy Birthday and I sang the words wrong, as you learned earlier, I might do, you'd know it, wouldn't you? You'd immediately know it. What about the Word of God? We need to know it so that if it's ever changed, God forbid, or God forbid, taken away, we have our own copy, like the King of Israel, to rely on. That we know, that we can preach from, that we can rebuke, and we can talk to our children about when we walk and we lay down, and we print it on the side of our houses. That's a lesson. Simple? Incredibly. I could think of nothing to do except just declare, read your Bible, know your Bible, have a Bible. I'm pleading for you to do that. I'm pleading for you young people to do that. Don't ever rely on an electronic form of the Bible as your sole Bible. Don't do it. Have a reliable translation of the Bible and stick to it. And read it and know it and tell others about it. Because by those words we have life. Jesus says in John chapter 6 that His words are spirit and His words are life. And if we don't have them, we don't have the Spirit and we don't have life. If you're not a Christian, I don't know that anyone here tonight that needs to be baptized. But if you're not a Christian and you need to be baptized, we will glorify God if that occurred. If you're a Christian who's wandered away from the faith, and maybe you need to repent of something, maybe you need prayers in your life, we would love for you to come forward. We would love to help in any way we can as we stand and we sing.